from the book of Job. I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. From the Psalms. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? And from the lips of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? You are not the first person ever to have felt the silence or absence of God. Job, David, even Jesus himself felt forsaken by God. Most of the great giants of the faith have felt it too. The newest book about Mother Teresa makes it clear that she lived and worked and prayed and served for decades without feeling the nearness of God. You are not the first person ever to have felt the silence or absence of God, and I stand here today as one of you, one who has felt it too, more than once. You know what it's like at that first flush of love with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a best friend, lover? You know the excitement? Thinking about them all the time, calling them, texting them. You're all over each other, and it's wonderful. But eventually, all flames cool. Eventually, life settles in a little more evenly. And after this deep, early bonding time, we begin to be able to breathe and think and function, sometimes maybe for 30 minutes or more. Without thinking of them. You know what I'm talking about? I had a season like that with God. That first flush of new love. I thought about God all the time. We had this ongoing conversation, it felt like. Every day, almost all the time. But sometimes, as our relationships with friends and lovers start to settle in, have you noticed we panic? If he doesn't call me 5 times a day, does it mean he doesn't love me anymore? If I haven't heard from her in a day and a half, is she still my friend? Because we know that silence and distance in a relationship are deadly. So we are right to fear them. We are right to work against them. But we also know that a spouse can be faithful and a friend can be loving, even if we don't have contact with them every single minute of every single day. If we are wise, we guard against distance developing between us and those we love. But if we're healthy, we also give each other room to breathe. We learn that not all friendships are over if we go an hour without chatting. Your marriage isn't doomed if your heart doesn't skip a beat every time you see your spouse. You can still be fully in love and committed to someone, yet have times when you're not talking to them, thinking about them, or feeling the pitter-pat of new love. The same is true with God. And the first really dry time that I had with God, the first time I felt that flush of new love fading away, I was terrified. I was hurt. I wondered if I had done something wrong. I wondered if God didn't want to be my friend anymore. For months, there was this dark cloud over part of my soul, and I remember the day coming home from work, turning from Meridian Street onto the parkway before there was that scary turn lane there, that I finally heard God speak again, finally felt God's presence again. And God's message was simple. He said, relax. I'm still here. That's a simple view of things, but a true experience from my life of getting through one of those times when God seemed silent. God wasn't Chatty Cathy after that, not for a long time still, but it was enough. It was enough to know God was there. So many times we are like young toddlers, never letting mom or dad get too far out of sight. Kids will run back to the parent every few minutes just to make sure you're still there, just to make sure you're still available. Toddlers eventually learn that mom and dad are still there even if they can't see you. They eventually learn that you're coming back. They eventually learn to trust and to imagine your love and care even when they cannot see you. I think that God wants us to learn that too. To learn to trust. To imagine God's love and care for us even when we can't seem to see God or hear God anywhere. Because it grows our faith. I think a sense of distance between God and ourselves grows our faith. I think it's normal. I think it's a necessary part of our faith development. Another thing I've learned about the silence of God was taught to me by Brother Jeff. It was probably 13 or 14 years ago now. Robert was very young. Vicky wasn't born yet. Robert was down for a nap. Praise the Lord. Some moms use their kids' nap times for productive things like mopping the floor or washing the windows or making homemade jam. I think Wayne would have preferred I used Robert's nap time for something like that. Instead, I usually used his nap time to sleep or read a book or sometimes just stare blankly at the wall. On this day, I was actually reading the United Methodist Book of Discipline, a boring book, one that tells us Methodists how we ought to do things, like how we elect a bishop, or how we buy new property, or what a member of the church council is supposed to do. It's a reference book, really. And folks usually only read the discipline when they're looking for something. I was looking for something. I was trying to figure out what to do with this calling I felt in my life, this growing desire to preach and teach and care for people as a pastor. And while I'm sitting there reading this boring book, who should pull in the circle but Brother Jeff in that famous orange and black truck of his? You have had that truck a long time, Brother Jeff. I took this as a sign from God that Brother Jeff was a godsend, that Brother Jeff would help me interpret what I was feeling and what I was reading, like Philip with that Ethiopian eunuch. I expected Brother Jeff to explain to me what I was reading. We talked about lots of things, and finally, Brother Jeff asked the obvious question, what in the name of all that is good and holy are you doing reading the Book of Discipline? And I told him. I asked Brother Jeff about this call to preach and all these other tasks that are expected of a pastor. I asked him how he rectified all that, how he put it all together. But instead of answering my questions, instead of helping me along this path in my journey of faith, Brother Jeff just sort of smiled almost to himself, and he got up and he left. I was mad at him for 2 weeks. Jeff knows the story. It was a lot longer than 2 weeks before I finally formulated my own answers to those questions. You see, those needed to be my answers. I needed to wrestle with those questions. I needed to seek God more and examine myself more, so much more than I needed Brother Jeff to give me some answer that was uniquely his. Turns out, Brother Jeff's not answering my questions was one of the most wise and helpful things anyone has ever done for me. You think that sometimes God doesn't answer our questions for that very same reason? Because we need to do the work? Because our own answer is part of the work? I don't know what to make of those times when it had seemed so much easier if God just explained a few things. If God would let me know what's going on in this life I'm living, it'd be so much easier if God would just write it on the wall, like we know God can do. Or if God would make my fleece wet or dry, like we know God can do. Anything but that stony, cold silence. I don't know what to do when it feels like I'm lost. But I've been told what hikers do. When hikers think they might be lost, the first thing they're told to do is stop. Stop and get your bearings as best you can. Assess the situation. Make a plan for your immediate safety. For a lost hiker, it's all about stopping and paying attention to what you do know and to what you do have. And I think that's good advice. When we feel lost spiritually, when we can't seem to find God or recognize God's voice anymore, I stop. And I remember what I do know. Things like, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Or from Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Does it help to know that when God seems silent or absent, God is still there, present with us? God will never leave us alone. Like the spouse in the night whose presence is a comfort, God will never leave us, even when we can't see God there in the dark. I guess it's natural that when God seems distant, we wonder if it's a judgment or a punishment. We wonder if God has given up on us altogether. That's a good time to remember Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God does not give up on us. If you have once felt the nearness and blessing of God, if you have once known the touch or work of God in your life, then God is still at work, whether you can see it or feel it or not. God is still at work in your life. And sometimes, when I am just sick to death of waiting on God, tired of straining to hear, weary of reading the Bible, trying to find my way back to God, at those times, I have to admit that I've stopped being a child of God and have started wanting to be the boss of God. I want it, and I want it now. I'm tired of waiting. Or as a psalmist said, turn your ear to me when I call you, answer me quickly. Answer me quickly. I want it now. So jump when I call. I'm not the boss of God. That may be the deepest spiritual truth I ever learned. And I ask you, which is better? The microwave frozen turkey dinner or Thanksgiving that's been cooked for 2 days? Which is better, instant coffee or Starbucks? Which is better, a text from a friend or an afternoon spent sitting across from him or her? The truth is, we see what we're looking for. And if I ask you to find five red things in this room, you'll do it. You won't rest until you do it. If you buy a new Prius, everywhere you drive, you'll notice every Prius because we notice what we're looking for. And at those times in our lives when God seems strangely absent, I think we've lost that God view of life. We've stopped looking for God. And when we begin to ask God to show us His work in the world, we usually see it. When I can't hear God, when I can't feel God's presence with me, I stop and remember what I know. That God doesn't leave us, that God doesn't give up on us, that I am not the boss of God. And then I ask God to show me His work in the world. I listen for God in songs. I look for God in nature. I give credit to God for the loving actions of others. And I hold on tight to God for all I'm worth, knowing that God holds and carries us long after we have lost our strength and our hope. The same David who wrote about God seeming absent in the Psalms, who railed against the silence of God, this same David eventually came out of that dark place. And so will we. David also wrote about times when God seemed everywhere. And as our affirmation of faith, today I'd like you to find your bulletin and please stand. And I would like us to say together these words from Psalm 139, words of David. This from the Message. Let us say together, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I am an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already waiting. Then I said to myself, He sees me even in the dark. God sees us even in the dark. Even when we can't see God, God sees us. Thanks be to God.